Vietnam, Mexico, whatever, we are always called upon to make cost and benefit decisions. How much will this cost me in money, time, energy, etc., and what are the benefits? Anyone who had contact with Jesus had to make a cost and benefit decision. Peter, James, and John were faced with that when Jesus called them to leave their nets and follow him. But later, when he was arrested, his closest disciples fled, and shortly after, Peter denied knowing him. At that time, they felt that the cost outweighed the benefits of knowing him. The resurrection changed all of that, and his disciples became so convinced that the benefits outweighed the cost that they were willing to die for him. The early evangelists and writers of the New Testament understood that people are always going to raise the cost and benefits question. Consequently, their message about the risen Christ always included a therefore. How responding to the gospel would impact our lives, how it would benefit us, and what it would cost. For example, they spoke about benefits. One is peace. Paul wrote in Romans 4:25-1, he was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Therefore, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in Romans 8:1, he said, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Peace, reconciliation with God, no condemnation. These are some of the benefits. What will it cost us to accept the crucified risen Lord? Hear what Paul told the people in Jerusalem in Acts 3. You killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead. Therefore, repent of your sins and return to God, so that your sins may be wiped away and times of refreshing might come. Hallelujah. Also hear Paul's word in 1 Corinthians 15. After he has spoken of the resurrection, therefore, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Yes, it will cost us something to accept the living Christ. It costs for repentance and for steadfast service. And more than there are benefits attached, forgiveness, times of refreshing, and the satisfaction of knowing that our labor is not in vain. We come to this table to remember both what it cost the Lord and what it cost us to receive the gift of benefits. Jesus paid the price willingly because it was worth it to him. How much is it worth it to you? Let us partake of this juice. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Told the adult Bible class we've been going this year. 2016 has been a focus on prayer, and we felt led in some different directions, and we landed on prayer. And the plane is off on a road trip, and there's nobody to fly the plane, Sister Misty, so we're stuck at the prayer airport. Wandering around, drinking Starbucks coffee and shopping at the venues, spending a lot of money. We are definitely laid over on this topic, and the more we talk about prayer, the more that it opens up, and the more we teach on it, and the more scriptures we read about it, the more we realize how much more there is to talk about. And we don't want to just be theorists when it comes to prayer. We want to be able to take the theory and put it into practice and take an action towards what we have been hearing and we've been studying about. Thank you, adults in our Bible class. Your input and your perspectives, as always, add so much more to what we have understood over the years. But I want to preach for a few moments today on the prayer of transfiguration. As I told the class, Luke often slips in a perspective that the other writers don't. The other writers, the synoptists, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they tell us about the Lord's Prayer, Our Father, Lord in heaven. But Luke says this. He said, and the Lord was praying. Everybody say, pray.
Pray.
And then the disciples said, Lord, teach us how to do that. And then he said, this is how you do it, Our Father. And we have that first initial lesson today in our adult Bible class. It was very enlightening and very powerful. And Luke, again, he joins with the other synoptists talking about the Mount of Transfiguration. But Luke, again, throws something else in there. Luke chapter number 9 and verse 28. Beautiful how Jesus transitions from the teachings of the cross to the prayer of transfiguration. Luke chapter 9, verse 28 in the King James, and it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering, some say like a flash of lightning. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, or his departure, or his, as the Greek says, exodus, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory, and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles or booths, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. Not knowing what he said, while he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we are in tumultuous times. We are in different days as a church. The same evils presenting themselves in the most fantastic and inventive ways that the world has ever seen before. We are a people oppressed. We are a people overburdened with cares of this life. Lord, we need in this hour as a church and as a people and as individual believers, Lord, we need a word from heaven. We need a vision from you. We need a dream, God, that can show us the future and cause us to understand that the times that we are in are important and vital, crucial junctures in the time and history of the kingdom of God, to be changed, to be transformed, to be transfigured, God, to be renewed and to be brought into a new supernatural sense of our position and place in the kingdom in this hour. We ask you to lead us individually, lead us as a church through the tumult and through the ups and the downs and the vagaries of ministry and working together, and lead us into that place where your glory dwells. If you want the glory of God to shine in your life, would you say amen?
Amen.
It is a comfort to have your closest friends with you. I know we've talked a lot about corporate prayer. We've talked a lot about private, secret prayer. And those things are so essential. But we find Jesus frequently going somewhere in between those two things. He's not praying with the crowd and neither praying by himself secretly. But he invites his closest friends to be with him. And I would posit today to say that there are some prayers, that there are some places that we cannot experience in the crowd. And there are some prayers and there are some places that we cannot get to alone. But we have got to have a couple friends with us who understand us, who understand what is coming, and who are willing to join together with us in a prayer of unity. And Jesus often spoke of this type of prayer. He said, where there are two or three gathered in my name, that I will be there in their midst. That if two or three of you agree as touching anything, it shall be done for them of my Father who is in heaven. There is a prayer of transfiguration where things change, where things happen. And more than anything else, more than anything that changes the world around us, or God and his plans of heaven who never change, but what changes is a transformation and a transfiguration of the self and the body and the soul and the spirit and the mind of the prayer warrior that is praying. Have those close friends with you to witness what God is about to do. To have them there together to agree with you in the name of Jesus is the approach to a prayer of being transfigured in the presence and the glory and the shining brilliance of the Almighty God. And of course, this is a direct prophetic fulfillment from the word of Moses in the second book of the law, Deuteronomy 18:15. He said to the people, prophetically, the New International Version that was translated for us there, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites, and you must listen to him. And only these three men, Peter, John, and James, were privileged to stand and see the fulfillment of the prophecy of the great prophet Moses. And when they stood on this mountain and Jesus prayed, they approached into a prophetic transition in the kingdom of God. Can I say to you today that there are some times in our walk with God where we come to a juncture in the road. There are some times in our relationship with God, in his callings and gifts on our lives. There are times in our walk with God where we reach a crossroads and we realize that where we have been going and where we have came from, that it is time to cut off the apron strings of the past spiritual experiences. And God is getting ready to do something new and further the program of his kingdom in our lives. And can I say, it's at that time when we realize that the prayers of yesterday will not satisfy what the need and the situation is today, that we realize it's time for a prayer of transfiguration. That the prophecies that we've heard over the years, how many of you heard a preacher say something? You've sat through thousands of services and sermons, many of you, and you've heard the word of God come forth, and time to time, some of that has directly influenced your heart and your mind. You thought the preacher is talking directly to me. You've had a prayer meeting. You've had a prayer closet, and the Lord has come down and visited you with a vision. You slept on your bed after a night of prayer and fasting, and you slept there in the wee hours of the morning before you awoke. In that semi-conscious moment, the Spirit of the living God gave you a dream of the future to be fulfilled, and you walked in the glory of that dream as Joseph did in the nation of Egypt, and you've walked in the power of those impartations from men of God and the living Spirit of the Lord. But then you realize somewhere along that road it's time for a fulfillment. It's time for a change. It's time for what was prophesied to happen to come to pass. It was Moses that spoke to the people, and he said, "You've known me as the God who is a promise giver, but you have never known me as a God who is a promise keeper." And he said, "I'm going to reveal myself through Moses to the children of Israel as the God that not only makes a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but I'm going to show you that I'm also the God that fulfills the promise and takes action on what I said I would do." And that was the hour of Israel's exodus. After 400 years in Egypt, and after centuries of slavery and cruel bondage and torment, a man stepped onto the scene and he said, "The hour has come for a fresh revelation, for a further understanding of who our God is. He is the God that makes promises, and today you're going to find out He's the God that keeps them." There are junctures and there are times in our walk with God and in our ministry where it comes time for a prayer of transfiguration, where we go into a mountain, a place to pray, where we bring our closest compatriots who we know are on the same page as we are, and together we travail in prayer until the glory of God comes and changes us so that we are ready for the next stage in the journey of our walk with God. I would posit that there are some of you that are here today. You are struggling in your prayer life. You are struggling in your walk with God. You are hungry for something more. You are pressing for something more, but it seems like you're frustrated. I tell you, you might take a look at this portion of Scripture, and you might go home tonight and pray over it. You might read it every day this week in the morning and in the night and meditate upon it and say, "God, reveal to me the truth that this has for my life. Is my life coming to a moment where I am metamorphosized from just an average believer, from just an any Christian, to a powerful woman of God, a prophetess, and a one who speaks and the nations shake? Am I then about to be transformed and metamorphosized from some mealy, squirmy, squishy little worm to a butterfly with beautiful wings that takes flight and flies to any tree that it wants to go to?" And this is the word that they use for transfiguration, and it is what God does in the life of a believer from time to time. Hallelujah. The Bible says Moses was on the mountain for 40 days, and when he came down from the mountain, his face was on fire. The lightning of the glorious light of God's presence was reflecting on him. I'm talking about 40 days of prayer. This man prayed on the mountain and fasted under the power and strength of the Almighty. Because when you're in the presence of the Almighty, food means nothing. When you're in the presence of the Almighty, words cannot begin to describe. When you're in the presence of the Almighty, the flesh is elevated beyond just the carnal, weak human flesh that we know. And it is sustained by the literally presence and power of God. I'm talking about a prayer of transfiguration where you have a moment with God, and where for just a moment that weak and battered body of yours is lifted up into the glory of God. And when you come out of that prayer closet, people can look at you and say, "What's going on with you?" Amen. You have been transformed. a mountain with the Lord Jesus Christ. When we pray, there are many prayers that we pray, many things that we have to pray about, many, many words that we have to speak to God, many hours and many days and many weeks and years where our prayers are in a certain level and we are called upon by God to maintain that level of faith, to maintain that level of commitment and dedication, because it's all leading us to a place, to the next transition. But until we get there, we've got to keep on keeping on. Until we get there, we've got to keep on going to the prayer closet and doing the best that we know how to do, until the Lord shows you something better, until you finally figure it out, until the time is right. We don't know the mind of God and all that is going on, but until I know anything different, until I know any better, I'm still going to pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven, so let it be on earth. Our daily bread and sustenance, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into trials and temptations and troubles, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen. And until I figure something out better, you can guarantee, brothers and sisters, that's going to be my prayer day in and day out. God wants to take us to that next thing, however long that it may take. God brings us into the presence of great men. The Bible says that Moses and Elijah the prophet talked together with Jesus. And of course, why else? What else would Moses talk about? Let me tell you something, Jesus. When I went to the people, they couldn't hear me because of cruel bondage. I told them and I worked miracles in their eyes, but it was hard for them to believe me. And it was difficult to deal with them. And Pharaoh fought against me every step of the way. The Bible says they were talking about Jesus' Exodus. Who better to talk about Exodus than Moses and Elijah, the prophet Elijah, trying to keep the people from idolatry, calling down fire from heaven, doing great signs and wonders in front of the people. But yet for all of that, the Bible says they would not hear. And they began to explain to Jesus, it's not going to go well. But if you'll hang in there, you've got to finish your course. You can do it. You can do it. No telling what their conversation was, exactly the words that would have been spoken, but they were talking about Jesus' death and exodus from this stage of life and to the next stage of his ministry, when his body would be resurrected and glorified. But before any of that happened, the Lord let there be a little reflection. This is what it's going to be like after the cross of Calvary. This is what's coming down the road for you, Jesus. This is what the future holds. Don't you love it? Sometimes God's got to show us one more time what's in the future, because the cross can get ugly, because the blood and the beatings and the cursings and the mockings of the unbelievers can be so ugly and hurtful. Sometimes God's got to let us be transfigured just for a moment, just for a little bit, to give us the strength that we need to carry on, to give us the courage to know it's going to be worth every trial and tribulation. Let me say it like Paul did. He said that the troubles and the trials and the situations that we go through are not even going to be worthy to be compared with the glory that is going to be revealed in us on the day of Jesus Christ. God can give your compatriots words to speak. You can move into the presence of great people. I'm not talking about, you know, calling up, you know, get your mind off of occultism and all that stuff. We're not talking about calling up the dead, because God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. And so Jesus was not speaking with a couple of dead spirits. He was speaking to two living, mighty men of God. Brother Rob, don't you think that's a little far-fetched? Well, of course it's far-fetched. If it was fetchable, then we wouldn't need to be here today wasting our time doing this. We could be sitting under the shade tree in the house drinking sweet tea. Something got a hold of us, and we didn't get a hold of it. It has turned our lives upside down. And Paul said, I'm trying to apprehend the thing that I've been apprehended for. And I don't even understand it all, but it's driving me to the foot of Calvary. It's driving me to these different places in the world. We have got to be transfigured in the presence of the living God. The transfiguration shakes off that sleepy, lethargic spirit. Disciples struggle with that. They struggle with that. We all struggle with that. And it seems as though the most amazing spiritual moments in Jesus' prayer life were that the oppression and that the spiritual battle that surrounded him from time to time would literally be so powerful that it would literally put his disciples to sleep, because they just didn't have the power at that time. They weren't yet filled with the promise of the Spirit to stand up against that. Can I get an amen from somebody? Even if you do have the power of the Holy Spirit, I'll tell you, them long prayer meetings and them deep prayer meetings only come by the power of the Holy Spirit, because the body can hardly stand under the weight of it. Oh, but when Jesus was transfigured, his prayer put them to sleep, but his transfiguration woke them up. And instantaneously, there they were again, awestruck and scared half to death, and lightning flashing from Jesus' clothing and face. And instantaneously, they realized that we have come to a transition place, and there is something about to happen. The writer said, it's high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. And as with Moses, he came down from the mountain. People were so scared of his face that they ran from him. There will be only the few that can deal with the glorious change that comes in your life. You best just as well to keep it to yourself. You best just as well to keep it close to your circle of friends, because not everybody can deal with it. There are some things that are private, although powerful and life-changing and ministry-changing. And not everybody needs to know about it, but it will bleed out of you. It'll leak out of your ears. It'll ooze out of your mouth and eyes and nose and every pore of your skin. People will begin to understand you're not the same person that you were before. People will begin to understand something has happened to you. They don't need to understand it. You just need to know that God has set your feet on a different path, and that you have seen things that some will never see, and that it's time for you to move forward in your ministry and your walk with God, and that glory will pass quickly. Moses put a veil upon his face, and that glory faded, and it transitioned away from him at that time. The nation of Israel on the Mount of Sinai was set on a new path. The Ten Commandments were given in that transfiguration. The plan for the tent in the wilderness and the model of the altar in heaven, God's glorious altar and throne room in heaven, was imparted to Moses in that hour of transfiguration. And when he came down from the mountain, he had a new plan. He had a new form of worship. When he came down from the mountain, not only was he changed, but he was about to change the course of spiritual history in the nation of Israel and in the form and the plan of humanity, and God's interaction with the human race was about to change because of a prayer that transfigured his life. And the same thing was about to happen with Jesus and his prayers. The Bible says that glory faded. And they were unaware of the significance of the moment. Sometimes these moments with the Lord change us, and we don't always understand every aspect of it. Can't fully explain it. Can't fully tell you just exactly how it came about. We just know that we have been changed and moved into a different place in our hearts. So Peter said, let's build three booths. Let's build three little worship memorials here. One for Moses and one for Elijah and one for Jesus. And they, all the synoptic writers, recorded the same thing. That he didn't know what he was talking about. At that time, he didn't fully understand what he was talking about. He was there. He saw it. And later. Everybody say later. Later. After the cross. After the passion of Christ. Later. In Acts chapter 3. There was a man by the name of Peter. Spoke in verse 22, and he said, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear the prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel, those that follow after as many as have spoken, and likewise foretold of these days. You are the children of the prophets, and the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kings of the earth be blessed. And unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. And you know what they did to him? They threw him in jail. Woo! Are you ready for what is about to happen in your ministry and in your life? Are you ready for what is about to take place that God wants to do through you in your life and ministry? Let's stand together today. We can be a part of something that can only be understood later. We can be a part of something and a part of actions. I don't know where you are, particularly each one of you in your walk with God. I may explain some things rationally, but who can really understand the heart and the mind and the spirit of an individual? But God and that individual themselves. There comes a time in each of our lives and ministry places where we reach a place, a mountaintop in prayer, where the voice of God speaks over us and says, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. And the approval of heaven is audaciously and outrageously dropped onto us from out of nowhere. We become a firebrand. We become a measure, a judgment upon the people of the world that we come in contact with. What was that scripture that I sent out to some of you earlier in the year? Paul said that we reach out for the lost people of this world. To some of them, we are the savor of life. Sweet-smelling savor, fragrance of grace and mercy and forgiveness, a fresh start, a new beginning. But to others, we are the fragrance of death, putrid, decay, maggot-filled stench. Because they refuse to hear and respond to the love and the grace of God that's moving through us. Let's all bow our heads together right now. There's a lot of things that were on my mind. We may speak those things in the future if the Lord will allow that to be the case. We may not. But I thought today at best, trust in the Word of God and the Spirit of the Lord and pray this prayer. To preach this prayer. Prayer of transfiguration. Some of you have already experienced it in this building. You didn't wait for the altar call. You didn't wait for the music to get done. You were too hungry. You were too thirsty. You couldn't wait. You got to the table when nobody, my mama wasn't looking, and you got up there and you ate everything you could get your hands on before anybody noticed it. God bless you today. That's the way we ought to be. We ought to be so hungry and so thirsty for more of Jesus that we can't wait till the altar to get what we need from God. Like Brother Philip said, we've got to be so hungry and audacious and precocious when we walk through those doors to get. We could just walk in the doors and come right now to the altar and kneel before the Lord and get what we need before the first word is said or prayer is prayed or the first chord is laid down on that keyboard and you can get what you need from God. Oh, let's be hungry. Oh, let's be thirsty. Oh, let's desire more than anything that this world can give. More of you, Jesus. More of you, Jesus. More of you. Bring somebody with you that you know has a kindred spirit and shares your heart. Somebody that you know, a couple of somebody's that you know, maybe your wife, maybe a brother in the church, maybe a sister in the church, maybe a friend from another church in another community. I have multiple friends who are pastoring churches all up and down this country and across the world, and connections to friends who are all over the place, and God's ministry and work is in their lives, and we can communicate, and they can support us, and they can join us in the transitional moments and the life transforming moments that come to us. And I thank God for people that are there to pray with us when we need some help, when we need somebody to join in. Might not want to tell everybody about what's going to happen, but there's a couple of close-knit friends that I can call, and I know that we can pray together and get a hold of the throne of God. And I know that if we do, I know that something is going to change, an answer from God, and our hearts and our minds will be changed, and we'll become deep revelations of things unseen will come to our understanding. Hallelujah, church. It's time to pass through the crossroads. the crossroads in spiritual life and ministry, it's time to make a decision. Am I going to go to the left? Am I going to go to the right? Am I just going to stay stuck here? Am I going to turn around and go back where I came from? It's time for us to have some prayers of transfiguration until we begin to understand that Moses and Elijah spoke with Jesus about his departure, his death, his exodus. It was confirmed upon confirmation. This is where you're headed, buddy. This is the will of God for you. You are going to be afflicted. Your visage is going to be marred. And this glory is going to fade quickly. For just a moment, you can know that in the end, as Stephen, the first martyr of the newly formed church, was being stoned to death, and as he crumbled on the ground under the damaging blows of the rocks that were being thrown at him, the Bible says he began to pray a prayer of transfiguration. And he prayed, and the Bible says his face was shot through with the glorious lightning presence of God. He saw a vision of Jesus glorified, and even in himself for just a moment, the reflection of the glory that was within him shone forth. And as he passed from this life to the next, and as he left this earth, and as he transitioned to heaven, to that place of paradise and comfort in the bosom of Abraham, in the presence of the Lord Jesus, as he went to meet where the Lord was, just for a moment, the glory of God revealed where he was heading. Oh, come on, church. Let's just lift our hands together right now. Oh, a transition, a change. Oh, God is leading us to some sacrifice. He's leading us to a cross to carry. But he wants to let you know that it's all going to be worth it in the end. He wants to let you know it's all going to work out for your good and for the glory of God. And just press on ahead and stay on the path that the Lord has put you on today.